A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 16, Tinganur. For the first time in several weeks, returning to the palace didn't feel right. Over the last month, Din had been orbiting the palace like a moon its planet or a tame shriekhawk circling familiar hunting grounds. He'd been all over the desert, but he'd returned back to the palace at the end of every job. He'd grown comfortable there. He'd started to feel... not like its home, Din thought, as he guided the fly down beside Boba's ship, her thrusters throwing sand across the landing pad. Kasik had been quiet as they'd flown back, sensing Din's black mood, which Din appreciated. He didn't want to talk about it. The empty room in the tunnels underneath Mos Entha was stamped behind his eyelids. They have kids with them, Din kept thinking. Paz had been looking after children and living in a sewer while Din had been sharing Iazda with Fennec and running all over Tatooine on Boba's behalf. While Din had been sleeping in Boba's palace, protected by Boba's guards. The guilt buzzed in his head, the inside of his helmet rattled with 100 what-ifs. What if the other Mandalorians had been hunted? What if some of them had been wounded? What if they were dying out there on the sand somewhere and Din didn't know where to start looking for them? What if they went back to Mos Entha and Valerian killed them because she'd only given Din until sunrise? What if Paz and the others died in the desert and Din never found what happened to them? Din screwed his eyes shut and forced himself to breathe, letting the fly grumble as she settled down on the landing pad. Kasik, who'd taken up the co-pilot's chair without being asked or told, went through the rest of the landing protocols and powered the ship down. This doesn't help them, Din told himself. This guilt, this grief, it wouldn't help. The Mandalorians in Mos Entha had left the city. Din had no idea where they'd gone. They were probably in at least some danger. They'd left very quickly. Usually when a covert was abandoned, it was packed up so thoroughly it was almost impossible to tell Mandalorians had been there at all. Paz and the others had left their beds, evidence that they'd been there. Not much evidence, but Paz was usually a stickler for protocol. Something had happened. He wouldn't have left things a mess otherwise. 1,000 scenarios, each bloodier than the last, flashed through Din's mind. Anxiety spiked and buzzed in his head. He could hardly think straight through the feeling. Focus, Mandalorian, Din told himself, but the familiar refrain didn't help. Urgency buzzed in Din's mouth. I need to find them. Din climbed out of his chair so quickly he startled Kasik. Aside from keeping his hands on the fly's yoke to steer her through the air, Din had been very still and very quiet since he'd lifted up off the sands of Katoonies and made for the plug door. Kasik called after him, warbling an anxious question, but Din was already halfway down the ramp. A Tatooine evening hit him all at once, cool and blustery. The evening that had started in Mos Entha was coming to an end here, night creeping up on them all. The landing pad was growing dark. The suns had mostly set and the stars were blinking awake, the moon's rising. Din didn't notice. He made straight for the door, leaving Kasik to warble behind him. He didn't bother to greet the Nuxan in charge of the landing pad this time. He didn't nod or say anything to the guards. He didn't even stop in the throne room to report in. Din swept past all of it, the edges of his cloak snapping, shouldering his way through the crowd and into the hall that led to Boba's tower without pausing to even nod at Boba or Fennec. Someone, Din thought Fennec, but couldn't be sure, did call out. The word Mando rising above the noise of the crowd, but Din didn't stop. He couldn't stop. The throne room, it was too much, too loud, too many noises and smells and colors. Din's own head was already too noisy. Anxiety made him twitchy, made him long for a weapon in his hands. I can't stay. The riot of the throne room's evening crowd would drive Din to start shooting. The long hall to the first turbolift was quieter. Still not empty. More guest rooms had been opened up, stuff full of enterprising smugglers and traders and more. But emptier. Most of the palace's guests or inhabitants were either still enjoying themselves in front of Fett's throne or had turned in for the night. It wasn't until Din reached the turbolift, swiping his way inside and closing the doors behind him, that silence fell again. The lift rattled a bit, but its noise was much quieter than the sound the fly made while she was in the air. If Din turned his auditory sensors all the way down, he hardly noticed. That was good. That helped. He crossed out of the first lift and took the long hallway to the second at a slower pace. Boba had been in the throne room. Fennec, too. There was no one else up here. Din didn't need to rush to find somewhere private, somewhere safe. Calm down, he told himself, once he was safe behind the doors of the second lift. His heart was hammering. Had been since he'd first stepped into the tunnels underneath Mos Entha, and his thoughts were whirling. His kuta was damp with sweat. Din had seen warriors work through what the Allura called battle shock before. It was rarely easy to watch. Sometimes, she'd said, a fighter's body got so used to the fight that it had a hard time remembering how to exist outside of one. The body could betray the mind, could tense and flood the mind with adrenaline, even if there were no enemies to fight. It was the first step on the way of the Wurrok, the way of the mindless beast. Mandalorians were fierce fighters, she'd said, ferocious when they needed to be, but they weren't beasts. Din felt like he was in a fight now. His muscles were tight, shoulders pulled high. His ribs fought to expand inside the confines of his armor. I was trained for this, Din told himself, but the thought was distant and dim. I know what to do. Focus, Mandalorian. Deep breaths. Counting. A physical stimulus to root his mind back in his body. Din bit the inside of his lip, a flash of pain. But it, too, was too dim and distant and didn't help. The lift opened into Boba's rooms. Din hadn't picked a floor, but he supposed it didn't matter. He needed to get control over his body, over his noisy, jostling thoughts. Maybe Boba's rooms were better for that. Boba had the open, empty view of the desert, after all. And Din stumbled through the doors of the lift to the very edge of the room, swaying on his feet. The desert was open and sprawling, all stars and moon-silver sand. Din curled his hands into fists and forced himself to breathe. Breath control is important. He remembered that. He made sure to look out, not down. He would fall if he looked down. But if Din looked out over the desert and counted his breaths in sets of 8, he could focus. He could force himself back into his body. Think of the Jedi, Din thought. 8 breaths matched 8 steps in a lightsaber kata. It was hard to think about anything else while practicing a lightsaber kata. The movement and the blade took up all of Din's attention. He forced himself to take another 8 breaths, these ones slower. His world contracted a little, pain buzzed in his mouth. His weak hand, which he had curled into a fist so tightly he shook with it, throbbed. Din closed his eyes and imagined Kukrook moving through a lightsaber form, imagined Obi-Wan Kenobi with his serene face, Dooku with his dangerous elegance, even Ahsoka Tano with her forehead pinched in concentration, walking through Shicho step by patient step. He thought of Boba, too, swinging a Gaderfi with ease, of his teachers in the covert going through the steps of throwing a punch, tossing a knife, blocking with a stave. His body remembered each step, each blow, each bruise, as it had learned how to fight, and slowly Din was able to wrangle himself back under control. His pulse slowed a little, his breath softened. Some of the unbearable tension in his shoulders loosened. Focus, Mandalorian, he thought to himself again, the mantra well-worn and familiar. He was in control, not the animal of his body. The body was a tool wielded by the mind. Din knew this. He knew it. And he could convince his body of that, too. Jaren? Boba asked, his voice muffled. Din hadn't turned his auditory sensors back up. He hadn't heard the lift chime. Din startled, spinning around. He was so close to the edge of Boba's window that he nearly wobbled and went over, but kept his footing. Boba took an alarmed step towards Din anyway, expression concerned. His helmet hung loosely in one hand. Din was still fully armored. Jaren, Boba said. Din, what's... Din held up a hand, staving Fett off. He didn't... He didn't want to be touched, not like this. Not with his body still half convinced it was at war, not with his mind stuck on that empty room, those beds, on the horrible possibility that Din's brother was lost on Tatooine somewhere, in desperate need of help. Focus, Din reminded himself, curling his right hand into a tight fist again. Pain shuddered up his arm, grounding him. He wished that he had more bruises, deeper bruises. Something, anything to focus on. I'm fine, Din bit out. Boba pulled up short a handful of feet away, but his expression didn't lighten. Fine, he repeated. The word was muffled and flat. Din frowned and turned his sensors up, then winced at the feedback. He tugged his helmet off roughly. You don't look fine, Boba said. His tone was still flat, but not quite as muffled. He searched Din's face. Did you find your people, then? Do I need to hunt somebody down? Hunt? No, Din said. Why would you need to hunt somebody down? You can't see what you look like, said Fett bluntly. His mouth tightened. You look like... Well, you don't look good. You need to sit down? Are you hurt? Din shook his head. The thought of sitting down made him twitchy again, shoulders rising defensively. He forced himself to stand up straight. He didn't know what he looked like, but the concern in Boba's eyes was apparent. So, you did find them or you didn't? Boba asked. Din shook his head. I didn't, he said. They were there. Valerian said so, but I couldn't find them. They were already gone. Valerian? Boba's voice sharpened. She talked to you? She did. She pointed me in the covert's direction. She'd seen them. Din made himself stop before his body could run away with his mouth, too. All of it was lodged in Din's throat and would come flooding out if he let it. Paz, the kids, the other Mandalorians, the empty hiding place. The fear that they were in danger while Din was safe here. Boba must have seen it anyway, because he took a few steps closer and reached out, snagging Din's bad arm with one hand. Boba looked at Din, waiting for Din to tell him to cark off. Din would have, if he thought that opening his mouth would be productive. And when he didn't hear any objections, Boba peeled off Din's handguard and glove, then his own glove, and circled Din's wrist with his bare fingers. The touch startled Din. He reflexively tried to pull away, but Boba didn't let him. Boba's fingers were warm. Breathe, Boba instructed, once he'd taken a second to gauge Din's pulse. He tugged a little, pulling them both a few small steps away from the edge in the desert. Start over. You found Valerian? She decided to help you? Din did as he was told, grudgingly. Only an idiot argued with good advice, and tried to order his thoughts. She did, he said, in exchange for... Well, another bolt of guilt flashed through him. She knew I worked for you, Din said. She gave me information in exchange for promising that you'd stay out of her operation. A different expression, one that Din was unfamiliar with, passed over Boba's face, but then he shrugged. He kept a hand on Din's wrist. Fair enough, he said. She's welcome to Mos Entha as long as she stays there. I've got no fight with her. That did make Din relax a little, Boba's easy acceptance of Din's judgment in the field. Once I'd agreed, she told me what she'd seen, Din continued. And what did she see? Mandalorians, Din said. Three of them. Ones you knew? One, Din said. His stomach twisted. A brother from my covert. You're sure? Boba's gaze had sharpened to match his tone. Pretty sure, said Din. There were other Mandalorians in blue and gray armor. There had to be. Kreese's people wore blue and white and gray. But the way Valerian had described the Mandalorian they'd seen, her people had seen Paz. Din knew it. He's distinctive. And then? Then I went and found Kashyyyk. Din growled, remembering that he wasn't particularly happy about being minded like an unblooded novice. Boba shrugged. Argue about it with me later, he said. Din, whose mouth had already been opened to deliver some biting remark about not needing to be tailed around, shut up. He blinked, a little thrown. He'd expected Fett to want to argue about it. Boba just looked at him patiently. "Right now," he said, "you're about 10 seconds away from pulling that knife out of your boot and going for whoever's closest. Since that's me, I prefer we didn't get into an argument about how I feel about your safety right now."
"I wouldn't stab you," Din said, further disarmed.
Boba offered him a crooked smile. "Humor me. You took Valerian's advice, then. Found Kasik, then what?"
"Went looking for the covert," Din said. He let Boba sweep the brewing argument aside.
They would, Din thought absently, argue, probably about Kasik and Valerian both. Since he and Boba had survived a few arguments now, Din decided not to worry about it. He wanted to calm down, not wind himself even tighter. He closed his eyes and tried to slow his heartbeat down. He was not about to lose control and lunge for Fett. Din knew where he was. He knew what was happening. He knew the difference between friend and enemy.
"It had to be a covert. My covert. It was the only thing that made sense. I know the patterns. I know how they operate when they settle somewhere new. It was them. A brother."
"And?" Din's mouth thinned.
"They were already gone," he said flatly.
"Did they leave quietly, or were they forced out?"
"They weren't taken, I don't think," Din said. "But they left in a hurry."
"So you're worried they're in danger?"
Din nodded.
"Any sign where they went next?"
Din shook his head.
The words clawed at the bottom of his jaw. "I lost them. I was here, safe and comfortable, and they were in danger. I waited. I could have left right after Ashek told me where they were, but I didn't. I waited. And now..."
Now Paz and the others were somewhere out in the desert, or worse, or somewhere even farther outside of Din's reach, and he didn't know how to go about finding them.
"And that bothers you," said Boba, quietly. His hand was warm. Din wanted to pull away, to shake Boba's fingers and their warmth off of his wrist, but couldn't make himself.
Din swallowed. "I'm failing them," he finally said. "Yes, it bothers me. It..." He stopped. He didn't know how to begin to explain it, the guilt that was yawning inside of his chest, the fear.
Boba stayed quiet.
When I took Grogu back from the imps, when the guild turned against me, I would have died if the covert hadn't come out of hiding to help me," Din tried to explain. "They risked their own safety to help me because we're tribe. Were tribe. Not many of them survived the imps' retaliation, and now..." Din trailed off. Now Din was Darmanda.
"Now you've got a brother out in the galaxy and you think he needs your help," said Boba.
"I know he needs my help," Din growled. They had children with them."
"They?"
Din forced himself to slow down, to take a few steps back. He'd jumped ahead. He hadn't given a full report of everything he'd seen and heard in Mos Entha. Boba's hand on his wrist helped. He could feel Boba's pulse steady and regular, and it helped Din slow his breathing, helped him match Boba's heartbeat with his own.
"Control," he reminded himself. "Focus." A warrior was not run over by their own body's reaction. A warrior didn't let themselves lose the fight to panic.
"There were others with the Mandalorian from my tribe," Din explained.
"2.
"And you didn't know them?"
Din shook his head.
"They wore black armor," Valerian said. "None of my tribe wore just black. Black and yellow, black and red, but not black alone."
Boba made a thoughtful noise.
"Black," he said, "is the color of justice. Tor. Or it was back in the old days. I don't know how many keep their colors for tradition's sake anymore."
"You know any tribes or clans that wear it?"
"Kryze wore blue, white, and gray, with black to fill in the details. Her Talvode, Reeves, and Woves wore the same. Boba wore green. Maybe armor colors varied based on clan affiliation. Down in the covert, the color of one's armor hadn't mattered as much as its Beskar content. Red Durasteel, while flashy enough, didn't command as much respect or status as a full set of silver Beskar Gom. As young warriors, Jin and his cohort had painted their armor the colors they'd liked out of the paints they'd had on hand. If there had been any meaning to the colors they'd chosen, no one, not even the older warriors, had told Din. Boba tilted his head back and forth. "I knew one warrior back in my father's day," he finally said. "He wore all black, but that was 30 years ago, and he wasn't a young man. He's probably dead now."
"Did he have a tribe?" Din asked.
Boba shook his head. "Vow? No, he had no one. Just his soldiers." Din made a frustrated sound, fingers curling. He needed something, a lead, a clue. If he could find out who these other Mandalorians were, maybe he could figure out where they would go if they were chased out of a safe place.
"They had kids with them?" Boba asked.
His voice was gentle. Din risked a glance at him and couldn't help but soften. He could see the concern in Boba's face, too. Neither of them liked the idea of foundlings in danger, especially in a place like Tatooine.
3, Din confirmed. The memory of the beds, little more than heaps of blankets on the ground, made him screw his eyes shut.
"Do you know them, the kids?"
"Foundlings," Din said. "And maybe. I don't know. We had 12 or 13 with us on Nevarro, last time I counted, before Grogu. I don't know how many made it off Nevarro. My brother would have taken as many as he could."
"Your brother," said Boba. "What's he look like?"
Din blinked.
"Like," he started, and then stopped. Usually he'd say, "like a Gundark in armor," but Boba's face was set, determined.
"He wants to help," Din realized.
His pulse stumbled. Din hadn't expected that. Everyone, even Boba himself, had told Din that Boba didn't like other Mandalorians.
"But he wants to help me."
A surge of something, gratitude cut with honest affection, rushed through Din. It made him dizzy.
"He's taller than me," Din said. "Bigger, in an infantryman's armor. More kit and ordnance than an AT-AT.
"What color's his armor? Silver, like yours?"
Din shook his head.
"Blue," he said. "Dark blue and gray."
"Any symbols on him?" Boba asked, tapping his own tiny mythosaurs.
Din looked at the silver mudhorn on his shoulder.
"Not the last time I'd seen him," said Din. "He hadn't taken a signet yet."
He reached through his memory. Pallas, Paz's father, had taken some kind of bird as a signet. Its shape had been blurry on his pauldrons, but Paz hadn't earned a signet yet, not the last time Din had seen him. He could have taken Pallas's as his own when Pallas had died, but had chosen not to.
"Big, blue, heavily armed," Boba repeated. "No signet. Last seen in Mos Entha?"
Din nodded.
"I'll put the word out," Boba said. "The others, you get any more details on them, aside from black armor?"
"Just that there's two. You'll put the word out?" Din didn't understand. Put the word out with who? If Paz and the others were hiding, Din didn't want Boba to start asking questions and lead more enemies right to their door. Boba might be their enemy, Din thought. Paz wouldn't take well to the idea of another creed, another way, one that let a Mandalorian show their face, take off their armor, live outside a covert. "He won't take well to me working with Boba either." Boba had worked freely and openly with the Empire, after all. His Beskar had come from his father, but his credits had come from the Empire, and worse. Paz would take exception to that, too, if Din still knew Paz.
"Maybe he's changed," Din thought, without enthusiasm.
Out of all the foundlings in Din's age group, Paz had taken being Mandalorian the most to heart. He'd been the enforcer of all the rules among the foundlings, the most zealous. He'd had to be. Once he'd been adopted, he'd been the only son of Pallas Vizsla, one of the covert's best and fiercest fighters. Paz had tried to live up to that reputation ever since Pallas had given Paz his name.
"Discreetly," Boba said, tone even. If he saw Din's doubt, he didn't say anything.
He just kept a loose grip on Din's wrist, his thumb warm against Din's pulse point. There's no sense in drawing any attention to them if that's what you're worried about. I'm not popular among the Mondo Ade. I won't send anybody who's openly connected with me.
Who will you send, then? Din asked.
His heart was sinking. Boba didn't sound like he'd let Din go off after Paz and the other Mandalorians.
He's not my allure, Din thought, verging on an argument. I could go anyway.
But Boba had a point. Most beings on Tatooine knew that Din was working for Boba by now. Word had spread. Valerian had known, and if she knew, then most of the other players would know too.
I'm too conspicuous.
Din's trick of disappearing into a crowd wasn't going to work anymore. Not here on Tatooine.
I was thinking, said Boba, slowly, watching Din's reaction, of asking Cobb Vanth.
Din stared.
Boba smiled faintly.
Cobb Vanth's not openly connected to me beyond our trade agreement, he explained. And he doesn't have to go looking himself, either. But think about it. Who's always around on Tatooine but never noticed?
Din understood what Boba was getting at all at once.
Slaves, he said.
Boba inclined his head.
Vanth's network is extensive, he said. He's got eyes and ears in every city, every settlement. That's part of how he survived Jabba for so long. The network has ways of getting information out, of coordinating among themselves. You think your people stayed on planet?
It's hard to say, Din admitted, still reeling.
Fett was right. Cobb Vanth's network would be ideal. Slaves were quiet and unobtrusive. Sometimes their very lives depended on them moving around unnoticed.
And they're everywhere. Tatooine was full of slaves.
If Vanth can get the word out...
The network, the Aha, doesn't end here on Tatooine either, Boba pointed out.
He seemed to realize that he'd finally said the right thing to calm Din down, to give him focus. This was a workable strategy.
No, Din muttered, thinking about the Freedom Run to Boz Pity, about Pyrrho Windrunner and her allies, about Vanth disappearing into the crowd in Mos Eisley.
It doesn't.
So, Boba said, we go to Vanth? He likes you more than he likes me. He'll help you. He knows what a Mandalorian looks like. Tell him you're looking for six of them, either here on Tatooine or somewhere nearby along the Rill route, maybe. Or any of the stops along Mumbles. He'll find them for you.
Three Mandalorians, Din said. They won't risk the kids above ground. It'll be my brother moving around or one of the other two.
Boba nodded.
Three, then, he said. Calm Vanth in the morning, or take the fly out to Mos Pelgo. It'd be a matter of minutes to get out there by ship.
You have his frequency?
For emergencies, Boba allowed. And I've boots on the ground out there, too. We can get in touch with each other if we need to.
I don't see why I need to wait until morning, Din thought, tugging his wrist gently to pry it out of Boba's grip.
Boba let him go, but his eyebrows pinched together. Din hesitated.
You think I should wait, Din said.
Boba shrugged. I think, he said, that taking... He paused to check his datapad. 6 hours to calm down and to sleep probably isn't going to hurt anything. It'll make you sharper, for one.
Din frowned.
6 hours could mean the difference between life and death, he said. So could 6 minutes, and you're not going to find them in that time frame, not unless they've moved into my basement without anyone noticing. Boba returned. His tone was cool. Din bristled.
They need help, he said.
He didn't understand why Boba didn't understand. Is it because he has no tribe, no brothers? Did he never learn how to care about his people? As soon as he thought it, Din winced, ashamed. He knew that Boba cared about the beings under his care. Din himself was proof of that. His wrist was still warm where Boba had gripped it. His bruises were faint, but Boba had pressed each one into Din's skin himself, then tended to each one when he was done.
No, he thought. Boba has his honor. He understands duty, responsibility, clan.
Din forced himself to relax. Boba understood all of those things, so he likely understood Din's anxiety now. If he was counseling caution, then...
He has a reason.
Explain, Din said, trying not to bite the word off. Boba's advice had worked out for Din before. He was wise, or at least wise enough. He could be trusted.
Boba spread his hands.
The way I see it, he said slowly, watching Din. Your tribe's already in the wind. You've got no leads on them, you don't know what shape they're in, but you know they're traveling with foundlings, right?
Din nodded jerkily.
So, Boba continued, they're not going to be found easily since their priority is protecting the kids. Better than to go slow and steady, to take your time and make sure you know where they are, how many of them there are, what kind of shape they're in before you go crashing around, right?
He had a point.
Right, Din admitted, reluctantly conceding. If he surprised a pack of warriors afraid for their kids, they'd shoot first and with everything they had. If Din rushed it, if he surprised them, or if he didn't figure out a way to contact the Mandalorians before he showed up on their doorstep, somebody would get hurt.
Okay, he said. So why mourning?
I'm not sure that my comms are 100% secure, first of all, Boba admitted. At Din's alarmed look, he grimaced. It's not ideal, Fennec's looking into it. So if you're going to be passing confidential information off to Vanth and Azahra, you're going to want to do it in person, face to face. After sweeping that Skughole cantina of his for any bugs, too. And if you drop out of the sky in the dead of night...
Din blew out a breath.
I'll attract attention, he said.
He felt not shamed because Boba delivered everything in dry, even tones, like a warrior explaining a battle plan instead of a teacher outlining a lesson Din should already have learned, but chastened, maybe. Din should have known all of this. He should have thought of it himself. If he'd taken the time to think instead of storming through the palace in a panic... A prickle of cold dread broke out down Din's back.
Am I losing my touch?
Before Grogu, Din had been unshakable. Cool and calm. Steady. That was how he'd won the right to be Baroia. He'd been the most level-headed warrior in the covert. The steadiest. The hardest to scare or startle. Panic, Din had learned, was Hutun. Weak and cowardly. He wasn't weak, and he wasn't cowardly, so he didn't panic. But now... Din blew out a breath, resisting the urge to bury his face in his hands. Now he was worried all the time, about everything. The kid, the Jedi, Boba and his people, the covert Din had left behind. Himself.
Is my courage failing?
It happens sometimes to bounty hunters. Din wasn't as young as he had been. He wasn't as fast. He'd only get slower as he got older. Experience helped. He knew more now than he had when he'd first started out. But if Din was losing his courage, he wouldn't last much longer, not in the kind of life that he lived.
Hey, said Boba, reaching out again.
Din let him catch his wrist, let Boba reel him in.
Breathe, Jerrica.
The endearment made Din twitch, anger bubbling up in his chest before he could smother it.
Remember that thing we talked about? Din asked, teeth gritted.
He tried not to bristle and snap at Fett's care. He tried not to feel fragile.
The coddling?
Landur, he thought, remembering the word.
Weak. Ah, said Boba, tone wry. He didn't let go of Din's wrist, though. If anything, his grip tightened. His hands were strong. Din's bones creaked.
The pain was good, Din hissed.
Yeah, I remember, said Boba. You need something else, then. Don't want comfort.
Don't need comfort, Din growled. He didn't need Boba to take Din to his arms and pet away Din's distress. That was part of the reason Din had held off going to Mos Entha. He'd let Boba comfort him, had stuck around to make sure that Boba wasn't angry with him. That was part of the reason Din had held off going to Mos Entha. He'd let Boba comfort him, had stuck around to make sure that Boba wasn't angry with him, that the operation was running smoothly, and had missed the covert because he'd been a few days too late.
What do you need, then? Boba asked.
Din stilled. He hadn't expected that. His mind went blissfully quiet for a second, then started whirling again.
He could give me something, Din realized. He could help me.
Din had never come to Boba this upset before. He'd been afraid their first few times together, but not angry, disgusted with himself, terrified for Paz and the others, feeling so many things at once that the noise roared behind his ears like a sandstorm, stripping everything else away. Boba can help me stop, Din thought. He can help me find some quiet. Quiet would give Din his courage back. It would let him think instead of react. It would give him the time to come up with a plan, to rest and make sure he was strong enough, ready enough, to go find Paz and the others. The prospect of that, a silence in his own head, nearly took Din out at the knees. But he stayed standing. He looked at Boba through his eyelashes, very carefully. Boba looked back. His expression was steadfast, calm. He means it. Din swallowed. You could hit me, Din suggested quietly. Boba just kept looking at him. You want that tonight? Din shrugged. He didn't not want it. He wanted the quiet, still place inside his own head that he got after being hit. He wanted to be hurt badly enough that he didn't have to think. Nothing could touch Din in that quiet place, not guilt or grief or even the pain itself. And maybe, he thought, I deserve it. Maybe letting Boba hit him would lessen some of the guilt pooling in Din's chest, like lancing a poisoned wound. Boba kept looking at Din. Din met his gaze for once, challenging, chin tilted. I can take it, Din thought. He'd proved that already, hadn't he? He'd proved that he was strong, that he could handle whatever Fett wanted to do to him. Okay, said Boba. He held up a hand before Din could say anything else. After we wear you out some, yeah? Wear me out? Din frowned, confused. What do you mean? You're agitated, said Boba. Din snorted. Not that agitated. Agitated enough. Getting flogged when you're this tense. It's a good way to get yourself hurt more deeply than you or I want you to hurt. I can relax, Din said doubtfully, eyeing Boba. He couldn't tell if Boba was being genuine or not, if he thought that Din was too fragile to handle it and just didn't want to say so outright. Din had held up just fine before. He could take it. You think you can relax, Boba disagreed. He shrugged. I'd rather make sure you're good to go before we start anything. This isn't the kind of thing you want to mess around with, Din. The use of his name, more than anything, told Din how serious Boba was. Boba liked endearments. He liked nicknames and little terms that made Din huff at him, annoyed. Din sighed, unhappy, but knew he wouldn't be able to change Boba's mind. Fine, he said. What do you have in mind? Sparring? Laps around the palace? You ever learn how to wrestle or grapple? Boba asked. Din blinked. I had hand-to-hand training, like the other kids, Din said. They didn't let us use weapons and spars until we were older. Good, said Fett, pleased. You want to try some hand-to-hand, then? It's been a while since I've had a good fist fight. Din thought about it for a minute, then nodded slowly. He knew how to throw a punch, and a hand-to-hand spar could be educational, at the very least. Din already knew what Boba could do with a blaster and his Gaddafi. It would be interesting to learn what Boba could do with his body. All right, Din said, nodding. He rolled his shoulders. Here? Boba looked around the space, then shrugged. As long as we keep away from the work table and the windows, we should be fine. Din thought about rolling off the edge of the room without a jetpack and winced. Or we could go down to the training rooms, Boba suggested. They're not made for hand-to-hand, but we'd probably make out all right. If they went back through the palace, Din would have to put his helmet back on. No, he corrected himself. I wouldn't have to, but I would want to. Several of Boba's people had seen Din without his helmet by now, but taking it off to eat with Fennec and Nora was different than taking it off to stroll through the palace. I can't. and the thought of armoring back up, of sealing his helmet over his face, was insurmountable right now, exhausting. It made anxiety flutter on the edges of his thoughts like Kyrick flies threatening to swarm. "Here's fine," Din said firmly. He eyed the edge of Fett's room again, the drop down to the sands below. It had been fun to jump from the edge with a jetpack. Din doubted it would be as fun without one. "We'll just be careful. We can draw our own as a god ring."
"Good work," said Boba thoughtfully. "You grab those chairs there, pull them to the side. I've got some chalk or paint around here somewhere."
Din nodded and did as he was told, collecting the various odds and ends that made their way around the edges of Boba's rooms. Chairs, a rickety little table, a few crates. Din collected them all and pushed them against the central pillar, where it would all, hopefully, be out of harm's way. Boba rifled through a few crates and boxes and emerged with a small can of green paint. Din blinked.
"Armor paint?"
Boba shrugged.
"Ought to do the job, don't you think?"
It was Boba's own floor, and he could do whatever he wanted to it, so Din stood back up and let him dip one end of his Gaderfi in the paint and drag it around in a wide circle. The metal shrieked against the stone floor, making both men wince. Din pressed a hand against one ear to block out the noise before it could spike a headache behind his eyes. Din remembered their first spar. He didn't want to underestimate Boba, or come into a fight at more of a disadvantage than he already had. Boba had been in the palace all day. Din had been trampling through Mos Entha. "This time," Din thought, watching Boba prowl around the edges of his freshly drawn ring, "I want to win." Boba, apparently satisfied, stepped outside of the circle and propped his Gaderfi up against the pillar.
"Rules?" Din asked.
"No weapons, no armor," said Boba, taking items off on his fingers. "No maiming, either. Keep your teeth to yourself."
"I wouldn't bite you," Din said, rolling his eyes.
He started peeling off his armor and his weapons anyway, setting everything aside in a tidy pile for later.
"Hey, I've been bitten a time or two before doing this sort of thing," said Boba. "It's better to set ground rules early before anybody else ends up in the medbay."
"This sort of thing?"
"Never been one for underground fight clubs, have you?"
Din blinked. "No," he said, after thinking about it for a second. He'd been through a few, chasing bounties or information, but he'd never seen the draw of fighting rings and pits. If Din had wanted a fight, all he had to do was wave down another warrior in the covert. He hadn't needed to go outside for it.
But Boba didn't have a covert.
"Are you one for underground fight clubs?"
Boba laughed, and it wasn't the worm sound Din was used to.
"Not anymore," said Boba. "Bit too old for it now. But when I was a young man, yeah, sure. Was a good way to make some clink and a good place to pick up new tricks."
Din was quiet for a moment, picking apart that new bit of information.
"Oh," he finally said, not sure what else he could say.
"Sorry?" he wondered.
Boba didn't seem bothered by it, but the thought of a young Mandalorian out on their own, fighting strangers to survive, it bothered Din. Foundlings and young warriors should be with the tribe, learning to fight from their elders. Din had gotten knocked around for a few years, but all of his training had been safe, more or less. None of the instructors ever let the foundlings really hurt each other, and there had always been someone there at the end of a spar or a training session with Bacta and a cold compress, soothing away any hurts. Din had never seen anyone in a pit fight get patched up and fed a piece of ooze cake afterwards.
"Is that what Paz and the others were doing in Mos Entha?" Din wondered, guilt prickling in his belly.
If they weren't taking bounty work, what other work was there?
Spice running, maybe? But Din couldn't see someone like Paz bringing that kind of danger around foundlings.
Not unless he had no other choice.
"Hey," said Boba, voice pitched up to catch Din's attention. "You with me?"
Din shook his head to clear it.
"There's nothing I can do about it now," he told himself.
"Yes," said Din. "I'm here."
Boba looked him over, then nodded.
"You'll want to change out of that," he said, gesturing at Din's kuta. "Fabric's too stiff. There's extra clothes in the closet in the fresher, or you can get your own and come back." Boba himself was shedding most of his outer layers, having taken his armor off for the day anyway.
"I'll be right back," Din said.
"Sounds good. Think of any rules you want to throw in before we get started. This," he gestured at the ring, "needs a few minutes to dry anyway." Din nodded and did as he was told, taking the lift down to his own rooms, undoing the various buttons and seals of his kuta as he went. He swapped his kuta out for some of the loose, comfortable Tatooine-style clothes Boba had given him a few weeks ago. A light brown shirt with an open collar, a pair of loose brown pants. Din was getting used to wearing them now. On his way back up to Boba's rooms, he tried to come up with any rules he'd want to add. "No maiming, we've already covered," he thought to himself, faintly amused. That probably meant that they should be careful not to seriously injure each other, but it wouldn't hurt to double-check. Nothing that would land us in a bacta tank, nothing that would slow us down in a fight, either. Din didn't know if the Hutts had made any more moves on Boba's operation, and resolved to ask. Boba and Din both needed to be in fighting shape when the suns came up in the morning. Other than that, Din had no intention of limiting himself by suggesting that they avoid faces or any other vulnerable parts of the body. As long as they didn't seriously injure each other, Bacta would take care of most bumps and bruises. The more Din thought about it, the more his excitement began to build, pushing aside his earlier anxiety. It had been a while since Din had been able to scrap with another Mandalorian. The medical droid aboard the light cruiser hadn't cleared Din for combat at all until Din had slipped out on his own, so Din hadn't had the chance to properly try Bo-Katan or her allies. Wovs had been willing to go a few rounds, but Din was pretty sure that Wovs had been under orders to pull his punches. Before that, Din had only been down in the covert for a day or two at a time between jobs. He'd eaten with his tribe, slept off any injuries, and had gone back out into the black without much downtime in between. It had been well over a year since Din had been able to test himself against someone who had learned to fight the same way he had. "He'll make me work for a victory." Din had only ever really seen Boba fight out of the corner of his eye on Tython and during their first spar down in the training rings. On Tython, Din had been too focused on his own enemies and then on getting to Grogu, but he'd seen enough to know that Boba was deadly. He'd been fast and strong in their first spar, too. This is going to be a challenge. The thought made Din's blood warm, his heart picking up its pace. A good fight could be surprisingly hard to find out in the wider galaxy. Din had gotten close with Kara, scruffing around in the belly of the Razor Crest, but most of the time when Din was fighting, he was trying desperately not to die or let someone hurt the kid. He didn't have to worry about either here. Grogu was safe on Yavin 4 with Skywalker, and Boba seemed to like having Din around. More guilt prickled at him. Here Din was, getting excited over the prospect of getting his shebs kicked, while others in his tribe needed help. Here Din was, making the same mistake he'd made last time, wasting minutes or hours when every minute, every hour in the desert could be a fight to survive. Boba was right, though, Din told himself firmly. He knew that Boba was right. If Din had been thinking straight, if he'd managed to keep a handle on his panic, he would have come to the same conclusion himself. It was better to take his time to get the best information than to rush headlong into trouble. This was fine. This was going to be fine. It might even give Din something to focus on, an edge to sharpen himself against, so he'd be alert and aware when he did find pause in the others. When the turbolift opened back up into Boba's room, Din stepped out with his rules on the tip of his tongue and drew up short, surprised. Boba had finished shedding his layers and stood in the middle of the room in nothing but a loose pair of black cloth pants. His usual robe and shirt were draped over the back of a chair. His skin shone warm and brown in the room's low light. "He's got just as many scars as I do," Din thought. Boba's chest and back were just as badly scarred as his face, but the scarring was different. Where his face and the backs of his hands had been scoured by the Sarlacc's acid, Boba's chest and flanks showed scars that Din was more familiar with. Circular blaster burns, the ragged mark of an animal's claws, long straight scars made by a blade, patchy scars left by heat. Some of Boba's scars had healed shiny and red, and others had healed white. A few were so familiar that Din had to resist the urge to press a hand to his own matching scars, remembering how he'd got them. Boba caught him looking and turned, smiling crookedly. "The life of a bounty hunter, eh?" he said. Din nodded. He understood.
Could tell you about them sometime if you want, Boba continued.
He palmed one of his scars, a ragged patch of white, smooth tissue just above his right hip.
We could trade. I'm sure you've got a few stories of your own, too.
I do, Din admitted. Most of them weren't that interesting. Din had been injured because he'd been too slow on the draw, too badly armored, too stubborn to back down, or just plain unlucky.
Well, said Boba, ready?
Din eyed him for a moment, then nodded, pulling his own shirt over his head and tossing it aside. It was nothing Boba hadn't seen before, after all.
Boba's expression flickered. Din thought that he was pleased. You look better, Boba said, tone approving. Ushib's cooking's done you some good. How are you feeling?
Din shrugged.
Fighting fit, he said dryly.
His fingertips were beginning to prickle, anticipation building. He'd burned through most of his adrenaline earlier, but he could still fight. Would still fight. He couldn't help but size Boba up as an opponent, noting his obvious strength, the confidence he carried through every motion.
This won't be easy, Din thought.
Didn't get into any trouble in Mos Entha?
None I had to fight my way out of.
So you've got some energy to burn.
Din nodded.
That made Boba grin fiercely. Anticipation was building in him, too. Din could see it in his eyes, in the way he shifted his weight from foot to foot. Din stepped into the ring.
So, Boba said, stepping in to join him. Rules?
No maiming, like you said, Din agreed. No serious injury, either. We both need to be in fighting shape.
Boba didn't bother asking what for. He only nodded, accepting Din's terms.
That it?
Din shrugged.
Unless you thought of anything else.
The look that flashed across Boba's face, clever and a little dangerous, made Din's shoulders tighten.
I don't have any more rules, exactly, Boba said. But I've got an idea.
I'm listening, Din said, wary now. Boba's teeth flashed.
I've been thinking, he began, about what you wanted.
Din stilled.
About hitting me?
Boba nodded.
If you want to, he said.
I was thinking,
if you win, you get to decide what you want to happen next. If you want me to flog you after we're done, I can do that.
Within reason, he added, catching the hungry look Din couldn't stop from stealing across his face, the way his whole body tilted toward Boba like a moon caught in orbit.
The same rules will apply. Nothing serious, no matter how much you want it. I don't think you're up for it tonight.
Din licked his lips and made himself count down from 10 before answering.
And if you win, he finally said, once he was sure that his voice wouldn't give him away.
Boba shrugged and shifted his weight back on his heels, settling into a loose, ready stance, low and open.
That's for me to decide, isn't it? But if you're so sure you'll lose, we can skip the formalities.
Din rolled his eyes and mirrored Boba, sliding down into a stance of his own. It was different, to get ready to fight without the familiar, reassuring weight of his armor. Din adjusted his stance to compensate. He felt off balance, almost, too light.
I can handle it, Din told himself.
He watched Fett carefully. Boba didn't seem at all bothered by fatting out of his armor, but then he'd had years to get used to it, between Jabba's death and finally getting his armor back on Tython.
But I'm faster.
Din was taller than Boba, but not as thickly muscled. Din would be quicker on his feet. Din decided to test that theory firsthand. He made the first move, lunging for Boba's right side. Boba dodged, but not before Din's fingertips brushed the skin above Boba's ribs. Din didn't find any softness there, only scar tissue and muscle. Boba swatted him aside with a grunt, but he was laughing.
I didn't even say go yet, you menace, he said. Where's your sportsmanship?
I want to win, said Din. Boba snorted.
Fine. First one pinned, and I mean really pinned, loses. You can tap out by hitting the floor 3 times or by calling yield. Yasta. If you go out of the ring, you also lose. Got it?
Got it, said Din, lunging again. This time he was able to get a hand around Boba's arm, but Boba shook him off before Din could try and topple Boba over his shoulder.
What? Din added, as Boba backed off, towing the edge of the ring. There's no word in Mandalorian for I give up.
Mandoa, Boba corrected. Din backed off too, not willing to spend all his energy at once. They circled each other like rival blade backs, pawing and stamping before they went in for the charge.
And no, there's Pel, which can mean soft or yielding, but that's about it.
Din snorted. That made sense.
They circled each other for another handful of seconds, and then it was Boba's turn to move.
You ever heard of Ubardian oil wrestling? Boba asked, feinting for Din's left.
Din slid away easily, though the change in conversation threw him a little.
No, said Din.
Participants strip down to a ceremonial loincloth and fight covered in Maridanish oil, said Boba. The muscles in his shoulders flexed. It was all too easy to picture Boba stripped to nothing but the barest nod to modesty, shining with oil. A predator.
Din spluttered, heat rising in his belly, and had to scramble out of the way as Boba took advantage of Din's distraction and made another grab for him.
I have seen a naked man before, Fett, Din growled, recovering his stance. He spread his weight out to the balls of his feet and crouched, ready to spring. It's not that shocking. Sometimes the best time to grab a mark was when they were least expecting it, in the fresher or in bed on a hot planet. Sometimes Din just got unlucky. But he had seen naked humans before, and other sentients too. Some sentients, like Wookiees, didn't wear clothes at all.
That blush you've got on could have fooled me, Boba teased, falling back to let Din decide the next move. You know how you win a bout of Ubardian oil wrestling?
I bet you're gonna tell me, Din grumbled, and saw an opening. He darted in, ducking Boba's grab, and hooked a foot around Boba's ankle. Boba swore and wobbled. He didn't quite fall, but his balance was thrown, and Din rushed his advantage, dropping a shoulder and shoving in. Boba's breath whooshed out over Din's head, and they both fell, Din forward, Boba back, carried by Din's momentum. They hit the ground hard. Boba was difficult to bowl over, and Din immediately tried to press his advantage, putting a knee in Boba's stomach and trying to pin him down. Boba growled. His eyes were very dark. He planted both his feet on the ground. Too late, Din realized his mistake in trying to pin Boba by the middle, and shoved up with all his strength. He was very strong. Stronger than Din, pound for pound. Din was faster and plenty strong himself, but Din had never been able to pack on the sheer muscle Boba had. Din went over with a yelp, thrown. His shoulders took the brunt of the impact, which was good. Din would have a bruise, but he could recover from it. Boba immediately tried to do the same thing Din had, scrambling to pin him to the floor, but taking the impact across his shoulders instead of his head let Din react in time, bringing an arm up to catch Boba before he could pin Din around the neck. For several seconds, they struggled wordlessly, grappling for a better position. Boba tried to use his weight to his advantage and get on top of Din, but Din shoved a knee into Boba's ribs to discourage him. Din tried to get his legs back underneath him and scramble clear, but Boba hooked a hand underneath one of Din's knees and pulled his leg away from his body, his hand burning hot even through the thin fabric of Din's pants. They were both panting. Sweat beaded at Din's temples and the tip of Boba's nose. They strained against each other. So, Boba panted, his grip on the underside of Din's knee tightening. Din bared his teeth up at him, not ready to give up just yet. About Ubardian oil wrestling. He leaned closer. Din could smell him now, sweat and Beskar, and his own breath came short in his throat.
You win a bout of Ubardian oil wrestling, Boba continued, and his grip on Din's knee shifted, climbed higher past the meat of Din's thigh. By getting the best grip on your opponent and forcing his belly towards the sky.
The position of his hand told Din exactly what kind of grip Boba had in mind. Embarrassment, arousal flooded Din's chest, red and hot, but he wasn't done yet. I have an idea.
Din pressed his head back against the floor, exposing his throat. Boba's eyes dropped to Din's pulse immediately, hunger plain in his scarred face. Grappling was one of the first things Din had been taught in the Fighting Corps. Foundlings weren't expected to be on the battlefield until they came of age and took the creed at 13. But their instructors had wanted them all to have a good grasp of hand-to-hand anyway.
9 out of 10 battles are fought at a distance with blasters and heavy artillery, Din's instructors had said. but it's the 10th fight, up close and personal, that will kill you if you're not prepared. So Din and the other kids had learned Kashiki sleeper holds and how to break them, how to throw a punch, where to kick, where most sentients had soft, vulnerable places that could be bitten or pinched or stabbed. And, they'd all learned, Mandalorians typically had one significant advantage over other species when it came to hand-to-hand combat. Mandalorians were boisha. Got you, Din thought, as Boba leaned down, and then Din reared back as far as he could and slammed their heads together in what Din's instructors had called a Keldabe kiss. Boba saw it coming at the last second and jerked his head up, which meant that neither of them broke their noses. Din caught Boba square on the chin. Pain burst white behind Din's eyes. Boba let go, surprised and in a fair bit of pain himself. Instinct took over, and Din rolled, dislodging Boba and gaining some space. Din came up first on all fours, shaking the stars out of his eyes, and then backed up to a low, ready crouch. His vision cleared. All right, Boba said, wiping blood out of his mouth. He sat back on his heels. A red bruise was already blooming across his chin. Boba had bitten his lip, and his teeth were streaked with red. Din felt something liquid and warm, sweat or blood, trickling down his own face. Fair enough, Boba said. Should have seen that one coming. Good hit. Din grinned at him, heart thrumming. His blood was up now, warm and crackling. Boba wouldn't get Din back on the floor easily. That how you got that scar between your eyes? Boba asked, climbing slowly back to his feet and falling into a ready stance of his own. Din touched the old scar with a thumb. The pad of it came away red. Din was bleeding too. Either the force of the blow had split some skin or one of Boba's teeth had caught him. Yes, Din allowed. He had a helmet on. I didn't. Boba snorted. Dini, he said. Lunatic. This time Din took it as a compliment. It worked, Din pointed out. He'd won that spar against Paz all those years ago. Had never lost to Paz again, in fact. And he'd gotten out of Boba's grip just now. Din's ears were ringing and his head would hurt once his adrenaline wore off, but those were, in Din's opinion, acceptable sacrifices. You're a menace, Boba grumbled, rocking back on his heels. He was stalling, Din could tell. Boba was reevaluating, coming up with a new strategy. Din decided not to let him. Too much Mandokar for such a skinny... Hey! Whatever Boba had been about to say was lost as Din lunged, keeping low. Boba was steady on his feet, balanced and rooted. If Din was going to get him on his back a second time, Din was going to need to break Boba's stance. Instead of tackling Boba around the torso and pitting his own strength against Boba's, Din went for Boba's knees. Boba saw him coming and leapt out of the way. Din missed him by thin inches, but Din had expected that and pivoted, focusing all of his energy on being faster than Fett, and lunged again and again. Boba was shorter but stockier. He didn't have half of Din's maneuverability. On his third lunge, Din caught Boba around the leg and brought him down. They hit the floor again. Boba grunted. Can't let him flip me, Din thought, focus narrowing. He had to keep Boba from using his strong legs to flip their positions. Thinking fast, Din trapped one of Fett's thighs between both of his own and lashed out, trying to get Boba in headlock. Boba growled a curse. He was fast enough to get an arm between Din's elbow and his neck, but the angle was bad. Din dug in, pulling his elbow in as tightly as he could. Underneath him, Boba's legs twitched and kicked, but he couldn't get enough leverage to pitch Din over like he had the first time. Come on, come on, Din thought, hanging on grimly. He just had to get Boba to yield. But Boba had been trained the same way. If Din had been able to hook his neck before Boba had gotten a hand between Din's arm and his own throat, Din would have him. But now Boba had braced himself against the floor and was pushing up on Din's arm with all his might, and Din just wasn't strong enough. Boba broke Din's sleeper hold and shoved, catching Din in the chest. Din yelped, shocked by the contact, hot skin on hot skin, both his chest and Boba's hands slick with sweat, and his surprise gave Boba the opening he needed. Boba grabbed Din by the shoulder, eyes blazing, and wrenched Din down as hard as he could. Din let go of Boba's leg and lashed out, digging a heel into Boba's knee, but it didn't slow Boba down any. He was on top of Din in a flash, grabbing one of Din's wrists and dragging it away, pinning it to the floor. Din snarled and kicked him again. If he had just a little more room, he could muster up enough power to make it hurt, but this close, it was like kicking a sandstone wall. Boba dug a knee into the junction of Din's hip and his thigh. The pain that lanced through Din was yellow, sickly. It drove the breath out of his lungs. He instinctively tried to grab at Boba's knee with his free hand to try and drag Fett away, but that just gave Boba the opening he needed to catch Din's other hand too and bring it, inexorably, down to the floor where Boba's weight held it pinned.
"Garganelli," Boba said.
Din hissed a breath, yellow pain still shuddering up his spine, and tried to twist. Boba dug in deeper, his knee bearing down with so much force it felt sharp, like it would push through Din's skin and muscle and bone, like it would nail him to the floor.
"You fought well," Boba panted, blood still welling up at the corner of his mouth. "Orijate, very well. But you're caught now."
Din bared his teeth, nearly blind with pain, and tried to use his other leg to push Boba away. But it didn't work. Boba had too much of the advantage. He simply rearranged himself so that he was kneeling, one knee on the junction of Din's hip and thigh, the other between Din's legs, and used his free knee to shove Din's legs open wider, so that Boba could settle himself quite comfortably between them.
"Keep fighting, if you have to," Boba added.
Din tried, but he was caught in such a way that he couldn't, not really. He could try and dislocate a thumb, wrench his hands free. He could lunge up and sink his teeth into Boba's cheek. He could thrash and twist and maybe injure them both. But there was no other way to get out of Boba's grip. Din would either have to escalate, have to shift out of friendly violence to something more serious, or he'd have to give up. The idea of giving up was bitter and galling. It burned in the back of Din's mouth. But Din wasn't a wild animal, and Boba wasn't Din's enemy. Escalating the spar into a true fight would end up with both of them hurt. Din didn't want to hurt Boba. Wipe that smug look off his face, maybe. Give him a black eye to go with the darkening bruise on his chin. "But I don't want to hurt him," Din thought. Very deliberately, Din set his head back against the floor and looked up at the ceiling. "All right," he said hoarsely. "Yes, sir. I yield. You win." Boba rewarded him by easing up, pulling his knee away. The release of pressure was almost worse, like the little clamps coming off. Nerves that had been pinched and pressed now screamed and throbbed, yellow fire shifting to red and white as it climbed up Din's back and lodged itself as a small and desperate sound in the back of his throat.
"Orijate," Boba said, low and sweet and close.
He didn't let up on Din's wrists. His proximity, the contact, was overwhelming. The smell of him made Din dizzy. "That's the head injury," Din told himself, but it sounded weak even in the privacy of his own head. Boba's closeness, the sound of his breath, the echoes of pain still rattling around in Din's chest brought up everything else that they'd done together in this room. The clamps, the flogging, the gentle touches afterward. Boba pinning Din down with one of his thick legs and letting Din chase his pleasure against him, a hand on Din's hip to guide Din through a rhythm that Boba liked. All of a sudden, Din realized how vulnerable he was. Boba had him by the wrists, pinned down and utterly without armor. Din's legs were spread, Boba settled between them, and there wasn't anything Din could do about it. He'd already surrendered.
"Ah," said Boba, noticing the tremor
that went through Din, half fear and half anticipation.
"Doing okay, Jerrica."
Blushing, Din nodded and carefully didn't look at him.
"Fine," he said through gritted teeth.
Boba made a thoughtful noise.
"This is probably a new position for you, isn't it?"
"You could say that," Din snapped, feeling needled. He tried to shift, to wiggle out of Fett's grip and clamber away, but Boba was having none of it. He took Din's right hand and lifted it, grip strong. Din fought him at first, red with the effort, but Boba quelled him with a sharp look.
"You," he said, tone biting, "yielded already, didn't you?"
His tone and his expression made Din's resistance shrivel up, dying in Din's chest.
"I did," he admitted, forcing the fight out of himself. "I'm sorry."
Boba eyed him for a minute, inscrutable, then softened. "You're all right, Jerrica," he said. "Just remember that you gave in. Don't fight me." Din swallowed, but let Boba take his right hand and pull it up over Din's head. Boba pressed his wrist into the floor, not hard enough to hurt, but hard enough to send a message. "Keep your hand there," he said. Din nodded. He could do that. The rhythm of his heart had changed. Din was all anticipation now. Boba was planning something. He wanted something. Boba took Din's left hand and did the same thing, bringing it up over Din's head, crossing one wrist over the other. When he was finished, he leaned back to look down at Din, and his expression was fond. "Meshla," he said. He traced the sore spot on Din's forehead with the pad of his thumb. "Did I cut you, Shara?" "No worse than I cut you," Din said, voice ragged. Boba huffed. "Fair point," he said. He drew back again. "I want you to stay here, like this, understood?" "Where are you going?" "That's not for you to worry about," Boba said. "You just worry about staying right here. Don't move. Do you understand?" Reluctant, Din nodded. Boba patted his cheek. "Good boy," he said. And the praise, delivered in simple basic, shocked Din, drew a sharp breath out of his chest. Boba caught it and grinned down at Din, wickedly. "I did win," he pointed out. "The agreement was that I can do what I want now, remember?" "And you want this?" Din asked, confused. Boba wanted Din lying on his floor in the middle of his sparring ring? It didn't make sense. "Yes," said Boba. "I understand," Din murmured. Boba patted his cheek again, like Din was a beloved Ock-Dog who'd just learned a new trick. Din couldn't decide whether to be pleased or belittled, and left, standing up and walking away. The loss of warmth was almost worse than a kick to the stomach. Cool night air moved in to replace him, and Din was left even more vulnerable than before. Sweat cooling on his skin, arms crossed over his head, legs spread open. It should have been humiliating. Demeaning. There was no protection. Din's armor was piled up across the room. Anyone flying by could see, would be able to tell what was going on in Boba's rooms by the spread of Din's legs alone. But the feeling bubbling underneath Din's skin wasn't humiliation, it wasn't shame. It was something hot and fizzing, braided excitement and fear, and underneath it all, solid as Beskar, was trust. "I trust Boba," Din thought. It wasn't a new thought, exactly. Boba had won, Din had surrendered. Now, by their agreement, Boba could do what he liked. But Din trusted Boba not to humiliate him. Boba wouldn't use this vulnerability against Din. He wouldn't use it to force Din to work for him, to blackmail Din into a contract he wouldn't accept. He wouldn't hold it above Din's head or use it as a matter of rank or standing. "He'll take care of me." Boba might hurt Din, but he'd only do it in ways Din wanted, and he'd never do it to dishonor Din. Din swallowed around the sudden lump of emotion that had risen in his throat. "Don't fall apart," he warned himself. The night, after all, had just started. Fortunately, Boba didn't leave him alone with his thoughts for very long. He stepped back into Din's field of view and smiled to see that his orders had been followed. Din hadn't moved. "Good," Boba said softly. He knelt back down between Din's spread thighs. "Hold still." Din did, though he flinched and blinked when Boba smeared cool, astringent Bacta all over the cut on his forehead. Din wrinkled his nose. "It would have healed fine," he said. Boba shrugged. "No point in letting it sit out in the open air," he returned. "Besides, if it's the lasting marks you want, we've got the whole night ahead of us." Din felt himself blush all the way down to his stomach. He remembered their agreement now. Whoever won the spar got to decide what happened next. He swallowed, throat clicking. I thought you didn't want to hit me, he said. Boba looked down at him, expression fond.
Jerrica, he said, I don't want to cause you harm. Those are different things.
Oh, said Din. He frowned, forehead creasing. I don't understand. Boba smoothed his thumb over the now numb cut on Din's forehead.
That's all right, he said. I'll show you, yeah?
Din snorted. You seem to like showing me things, he grumbled. Boba tutted, warning, and tweaked a nipple.
I do, he said. I like learning about you.
Not too fond of the clamps, were you? Din gritted his teeth, determined not to show a reaction.
Not really, he said.
Boba chuckled.
Pity, he said. You'd look good with something more permanent.
Ever seen someone with their nipples pierced?
Boba's fingernails were sharp. Din could almost imagine it. Pain and a near constant weight, the feeling of fingers across his chest every time he shifted in his kuta.
Yes, Din admitted. Piercings were common enough in some parts of the galaxy. Brothels and seedier cantinas. Twi'lek dancers got them sometimes. Din had never given much thought one way or the other, but now, with Boba's hands on him, he couldn't stop.
Well, the armor'd make it difficult.
Probably would, Boba agreed. He let up, giving Din a minute to corral his skittering thoughts.
Not a bad hollow to hold in your head, though.
You think about that, Din asked, before he could stop himself.
Me?
Boba laughed.
Yes, Jerrica, he said. I think about you. Does that surprise you?
Din shifted, trying to pretend that he had somewhere to go, somewhere to get away.
I guess I've never thought about it, he said.
Until recently, Din had hardly ever spared a thought for another being's body, for their hands, or their strength, or their skill. Not beyond sizing up an enemy or a target, anyway, or factoring an ally's skills into a plan of attack.
But I've thought about Boba.
I'm a simple man, Boba said, definitely amused now, voice rich with it. I have simple desires. Watching you take what I give you is one of them. Boba's frankness was just as aimed at getting a reaction out of Din as his wandering hand was, as the solid, unyielding warmth of him was pressed against Din's hips and belly. But that didn't stop Boba's frankness from working. His words cut through the noise in Din's head like a vibroblade, paring everything else away.
Why do you say things like that? Din growled. I never know what to say to them.
Just to make me uncomfortable? Boba shrugged, eyes dancing. Din tried to remind himself that Boba was just as capable of cruelty as he was of this, whatever this could be called, but his heart wasn't in it.
Not just to make you uncomfortable, Boba said, tone dropping low into something dangerous. But it's not a deterrent, no. Maybe I like to keep you guessing.
Why?
Boba shrugged again.
You're more honest when you don't know what to say, said Boba.
I like that. Most everyone else who talks to me tries to tell me what they think I want to hear instead of what they actually think. I like surprising you into speaking your mind.
Din bared his teeth.
You don't have to trick me into telling you what I think, Din said.
Boba laughed.
Maybe not, he said, leaning closer. But maybe I have my reasons.
Boba nosed the soft skin underneath Din's ear. His breath was warm and made Din shiver all over. The feeling was foreign and strange. He'd never... Fumbling around with friends between bouts in the sparring ring was one thing. So was passing the time with Paz and Annika. There hadn't been anything else to do. It had all just been... natural. Camaraderie. Bonding, the Allure had called it, something every age group did. All the tension they built up in the ring had to go somewhere. Better to let it out here, the Allure had said. Better to keep it among the tribe, among those who understand. This was different. Tender, Din thought. It was tender. Intimate in a way Din had never thought to experience. It wasn't just that he was stripped of his helmet and his armor. It was more than that. Deeper. Boba knows me. And Din knew Boba. There was no more armor between them. That, more than anything, made Boba's gentleness unbearable. He bent to nose at Din's ear again, heavy and teasing, and Din pulled back a little, as much as he could. Boba's fingers curled around his wrists. "Jerrica?" Boba asked, concern starting to furrow the lines of his face. He was looking at Din with an expression in his eyes Din couldn't understand. So Din did the first thing that came to mind to make Boba stop. He leaned up, careful not to move his hands and break the rules, and pressed his mouth to Boba's. Din had never kissed anyone before. The helmet had always been in the way. A kiss among the covert had always been two foreheads pressed together, Beskar digging into Din's forehead reassuringly. Kissing Boba wasn't like it looked in the hollows, passionate and showy, or like the kissing Din had seen in cantina back rooms and in alleyways, furtive and desperate. Boba's lips were dry. His scars felt smooth against Din's beard. His mouth, when he parted his lips and made a soft little "ah" of surprise, was warm. Din kept his mouth pressed to Boba's for a few seconds, and then his courage failed and he pulled away, unsure. His skin buzzed wherever Boba had touched it, his mouth and his wrists and the thin skin behind his ear. Din licked his lips, nerves swelling. "Sorry," he said. He didn't know why he'd done that exactly. It had felt natural, an extension of the closeness, the familiarity. The way Boba made Din feel, safe and cared for, even as Din himself resisted Boba's attempts. Boba stared down at him, shocked. "You've never done that before." Din shook his head, dropping his gaze. "No," he admitted softly. He fought the urge to hide and lost. There was nowhere to go, not pinned like this, but Din tucked his face into the curve of Boba's shoulder anyway, too vulnerable. Din felt flayed open, raw and exposed, like some tough creature stripped of its shell and left to cook in the suns. "Jerrica," said Boba, and that was worse, was harder to take than any blow or blaster wound. Boba brought a hand up to cradle the back of Din's head, to wind his fingers in Din's hair. The tenderness was unbearable. "Din," Boba said in the same tone. "You don't have to if you don't want to. I..." "Wait," said Din, looking back up. Something flickered in his chest. "Do you want to?" "Want to what?" asked Boba, a little desperately. The edge in his voice was surprising. "I don't know what you want." "I..." Din didn't know either. He'd relied on Boba for that, to learn what he wanted, to know. "I've never..." "Not with anyone," Din tried to explain. "Not like this. Not pinned to the floor, not singing with little hurts, not with his face bare, not with another body pressed up to his own like this, not with someone he trusted like this." Boba groaned, leaning closer like he couldn't help himself, like he was drawn to Din like a planet to his sun. Din shuddered. He'd never been wanted like this before, like he was gravity, a force of nature. Usually he was the one who felt like he was orbiting Boba, caught and content. But this was different. Din didn't know what it was. It ran through him all the way to the bone. "I want him," Din realized. He was dizzy with it. His whole body craved it. He swallowed and tried to speak, but his voice broke. He tried again. "I want," he said, looking up at Boba, leaning into his touch everywhere, trying to get contact all over, to be touched, to be held. "You to kiss me again." The silence that fell between them was terrifying. Din had never asked for anything like that before. he'd never wanted anything like that before. But he wanted it from Boba. He did. He did. And Boba, eyes shining, wanted it too.